Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Well, it's been a while. Well, we're in studio today to do the last proposition, and it is a doozy. Proposition or thesis number 95. 5. And with this, we conclude this labor of love, because that's what it's been. It's been a labor of love. We haven't charged you a penny. We don't raise money on this broadcast. We don't ask you to support us. We don't ask you to give. This has been a labor of love from me to you, the servant of the Lord. I've been on this broadcast 95 times to present to you arguments, biblical arguments, strong, logical, analytical arguments, which prove one thing, that the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church is well on the way, and that our church, our black church, our African American church, our mother church, the church we love, has become corrupted, has become perverted, has been contaminated, has been soiled by the working of those who work the works of evil. Well, let us go to proposition number 95. There is no need to invite J. Delano Ellis and his Joint College of African American Bishops to call in, because they haven't called in all of the previous times. And if they decide to call in, they can call in. They're welcome to call in. But why make an appeal today when we know that the yellow streak running down their backs is deep? It's a deep-rooted yellow streak. They're going to need major surgery to get that yellow streak removed. And I doubt that they are willing to have any kind of surgery done to remove that visible sign of cowardice. Because had I been called out, I sure enough would have met the challenge. Well, here's the text, or here's the proposition. It states, a triple woe to the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Why is it that I pronounce a triple woe? Well, woe to them for one, woe number one, they've gone the way of Cain. A double woe in that they've gone greedily after the era of Balaam for reward. And a triple woe because they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. A triple woe to the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, who will perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Who will perish. This is future. But why a triple woe? Well, because in this particular verse 11, the Apostle Jude uses a triad of characters of evil men, one, the first being Cain, the second being Balaam, and the third being Korah. Cain, Balaam, Korah. Triple woe. If you go the way of Cain, you have one woe. If you imitate Balaam, you have a double woe. And if you mimic Korah, triple woe. Triple woe to the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, who I scripturally predict will perish in the gainsaying of Korah. He will perish. Now, why is it that he will perish? Well, because unless he repents, that's where he's headed. He's headed for destruction. He is headed for destruction. So let us go to the book of Numbers chapter 16, and let's read about this man Korah. Let's read about who he is and who is he coming against, and what did God think of this character? What did God think of Korah? What did God think of him? What was God's estimation of Korah? How did Korah end up? Did he have a fairy tale ending, or did he have a disastrous ending? Let's read about Korah. Let's read about this man in the Old Testament, who happens to be a relative, by the way, of Moses, and who happens to also be a Levite, who also happens to be a priest by virtue of his birth, the clan of Levite, of the Levites. So, Numbers chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 33. Open your Bibles, and preferably, if you have the King James Bible, all the more better, so that you can follow. Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 33. Let's read the text. Let's listen to the text. Let's absorb the text, and then I'll break it down. Numbers 16, 33.
Numbers, chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and Am, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them,
Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord.
And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron, that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said,
We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord,
Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them.
And Moses said unto Korah,
Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer.
And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying,
Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.
And they fell upon their faces and said,
O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.
And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying,
Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins.
So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said,
Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord.
And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation.
Now, what was Korah's sin? What was Korah's sin? Well, Cain's sin was that he established his own religion. That was Cain's sin. Balaam's sin is that he was a prophet for hire. He was a prophet for hire. So what is Korah's sin? We've already seen that the Joint College of African American Bishops has gone the way of Cain. Why have they gone the way of Cain? Well, because the religion that they follow is not the Christian religion. J. Delano Ellis has teamed up with Rome and has teamed up with the Anglican Church. Those two churches do not follow the Lord. They don't. You look at their worship services, you look at their canon law. Those two so-called churches, the Anglican Church, which started out bad. Whether you say it started in the 5th century or if it started under Henry VIII, whatever version, wherever you declare was its beginning, whatever you conclude was its origin, whether the church was started under Augustine of Rome or whether the church was started under Henry VIII, it's both bad beginnings, not of the Lord. The Anglican Church is not the Church of the Lord, and may I add, that the Roman Catholic Church is not the Church of the Lord. They preach a different gospel than we Protestants. J. Delano Ellis has led a whole slew of people to follow a different gospel, the gospel of Romanism and Anglicanism. That's the way of Cain. Men establishing their own way to God. A way, by the way, that God rejects. God said to Cain, if you did right, would you not be accepted? But you've been rejected. The way of Cain. The way of Balaam. What's the way of Balaam? He ran greedily for a reward. Whatever he did was to gain fame, fortune, glory. That's the same thing with the Joint College of African American Bishops. They believe themselves to be members of an elite club, members with elite status, members, as a result of their elite status, require certain funds to maintain their opulent lifestyle, the way of Balaam. Now, what is the way of Korah? Well, the sin of Korah, is to rebel against duly constituted authority. That's the way of Korah. Korah led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. particularly against Moses. Korah, a Levite, was leading a rebellion and started his own church. We'll read this shortly. He had his own tabernacle. He had his own place of meeting. He established his own satellite church. He incorporated his own church and was pulling away people out of the Lord's church. Korah had not been ordained of God to be a Moses. There was only one Moses. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. Moses was the lawgiver. Moses was to be the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was Moses' role. Well, in today's church, the head of the church, the constituted authority of the church, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He is the head of the church. And when J. Delano Ellis leads people back to Rome, leads people back to Anglicanism, he's doing the very same thing Korah did. He is pulling people out of the Lord's church. For Jesus is the head of the church. But not in Romanism. In the Roman Catholic Church, the visible head of the church is the Pope. Read it, saints. Do your research. The constituted authority, the constituted head and authority in the Roman Catholic Church is the Pope. Well, who's the constituted head and who is the head of the Anglican Church? Well, it's the Queen of England. The monarch of England, is the head of the Anglican Church. We've covered this before, saints. So here you have, if you're following J. Delano Ellis and he says that the Joint College, how many times do we need to read out of his asinine book, The Bishopric? A handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. How many times do we need to read that stupid, dopey, asinine book? Well, doesn't he say that the tradition of the Joint College of African-American Bishops, isn't it Anglican apostolic? Isn't that what he says? How many times have we read that? Well, when he says we're Anglican, it means we're under the Church of England. Well, who's the head of the Church of England? Well, the Queen of England. The Queen of England calls the shots in the Church of England. The Queen. She's the head, not Jesus. The Queen of England is the head of the church. Well, who's the head of the Roman Catholic Church? Well, it's not Jesus. The Pope is. And when you remove Christ and you set up someone else in his stead, when you put someone in his place, it's an antichrist. The Pope is an antichrist. The Queen of England is an antichrist. Why? Because they have set themselves up in the place of Christ. Only Christ can be the head of the church. Well, that's J. Delano Ellis' sin. That's his grave sin. That's his grave sin. What? I mean, as you read in the book there, Numbers chapter 16, did it end well for Korah? No. The earth opened up and swallowed him, his wife, his kids, swallowed everybody. All those rebels died. The earth opened up and swallowed them. And once it swallowed them and they found themselves racing down into the pit of hell, then the earth closed on them. And shut. It's like someone opening up their mouth and putting a few raisins in their mouth, and there you go. The raisins go down to the stomach. The same thing happened to Korah and his rebel friends and their families. The same thing happened. Why? Well, because Korah's sin was he led a rebellion against duly constituted authority. Who was the authority? Moses. Old Testament. Well, New Testament Korahs, like J. Delano Ellis, they're also leading a rebellion, and it's against constituted authority. And who is that constituted authority? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's read in the Bible to see, if Jesus is duly constituted authority. Let's read. And our first scripture to read is Ephesians chapter 17, starting at verse 23. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, ending at verse 23. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, referring to Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up. Where did he set him up? At his own right hand in heavenly places. Read verse 20 again. And he wrought, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. I don't care what pope you name. I don't care what bishop, Archbishop of Canterbury you name to me. They're not greater than Christ, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name, whether it be Pope Francis or Pope John Paul II or Pope Benedict XVI or Pope Leo X, it makes no difference. Far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Let's read verse 32 again, Mr. J. Delano Ellis. Verse 22 of Ephesians 1. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body. Not two bodies, not a Roman body, and not an Anglican body, but there's one body. The true church. The true bride. One body, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all things. That's duly constituted authority. Now, let us turn to Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 5 all the way down to verse 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's duly constituted authority. Let us turn now to the book of Colossians 1:18. It says, and he, referring to Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That he might have what? The preeminence. You can't get any higher than Jesus, and there's only one head to the one universal church, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fact that J. Delano Ellis says the Joint College of African American Bishops follows the tradition of the Anglican Apostolic Tradition. Anglican meaning the Church of England and Apostolic meaning the Church of Rome. The very fact that J. Delano Ellis states that says the Joint College of African American Bishops is really a two-headed monster. Really, a two-headed monster, and one of the heads has a black head. The black head being J. Delano Ellis. It's a two-headed monster, a two-headed monster with a little horn. The little horn is Antichrist. The black head is J. Delano Ellis. And the two heads are the Pope and the Queen of England. You see, J. Delano Ellis has attached his organization to a beast. A beast, a beast, a beast, a beast, a beast. You see, it says here in Jude 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished, and perished." Oh, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, you are headed for destruction. And perished in what? In the gainsaying of Korah. What does the word gainsaying mean? What? That's a funny word. What does that mean? Well, it comes from the compound Greek word antilogia. 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 Anti-speech. Anti-speech. You see, Korah was talking foolishness. Korah was talking anti-speech. When you're a little antichrist, what comes out of your mouth is anti-speech. Anti, against. Logos, discourse. A discourse against what God said in his word. God said in his word that Moses was the constituted authority, but Korah rose up and said, "We shall not follow Moses. We shall have our own church. We shall have our own leadership. We shall have our own joint college, independent." Independent. Independent. Moses thinks he's a big shot. Well, we're big shots too. And Korah got his organization, and he got his robes, and he got his mitre, and he got it all. Korah's got it all. Just like J. Delano Ellis today's got it all. I'm sure that Korah was developing his code of canon law as Moses confronted him. You see, the word gainsaying is antilogia, antilogia, antilogia. You see, it's like the man of sin, the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians. What does he speak? He speaks against God. It's like the little horn in Daniel has a blasphemous mouth, talking gibberish, talking nonsense, talking big and bad, but the earth will swallow him up. Oh, did the earth swallow up? And you see, here in Numbers, in Numbers 16, verse 23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, and say, get up from about the tabernacle of Korah. Get out of his organization. Get out of his tabernacle. Don't go to Korah's joint college. Don't go there." Again, Numbers chapter 16, verse 23. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the congregation, saying, Get up from about the tabernacle of Korah." And not only Korah's tabernacle, but also Dathan's got a tabernacle, and Abiram's got a tabernacle. And Moses went up unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And Moses spake unto the congregation, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins." Oh, my brothers and sisters, for weeks and months now, we've been playing that song. Come out of her, my people. The Lord is calling. You see, the same way God told Moses to call the people out of the congregation, out of the tents of Korah and his associates, so too does the Lord call you to flee the tents of J. Delano Ellis and his Joint College of Bishops. Flee! For the scripture says, woe unto them, for they have participated in the anti-logia, or the gainsaying of Korah. You see, any man who establishes an organization and leads people away from Jesus as the head of the church and places them under the Pope and under the Queen of England is an antichrist. That person is an antichrist. For there's only one duly constituted authority, and that is the Lord Jesus. He is the head of the church. God has put all things under his feet. All things under his feet. How dare J. Delano Ellis lead so many people astray? How dare he? How dare he? How dare he? As an Episcopal Pied Piper playing a tune, leading people back to Rome, leading people back to Anglicanism, bringing people under Roman Catholic canon law, doctrines of demons and commandments of men. Who is this J. Delano Ellis? Who is this man? Who is this man who would lead people back to Rome? Who is this man? Who is he who will introduce these demonic-looking vestments and these insignia into the church? Who is this man? Well, he's a modern-day Balaam, he's a modern-day Cain, and he's definitely a modern-day Korah. Woe to you, sir. Woe to the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, who will perish in the gainsaying of Korah. He too has joined Korah. He too has joined the many Korahs throughout history, spoken against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the intent of leading people away from the constituted authority of the Lord, Christ Jesus, the head of the church, to their own tabernacles, to their own tents, to establish their own organizations. May this man repent. May this man repent. May this man repent of all his evil. May he who led people to Rome have his eyes opened by God before it's too late, and may he lead them out of Rome. May God have mercy on the soul of J. Delano Ellis. May God have mercy on this current day Korah / Antichrist. May God have mercy on his soul. And may God's mercy reach him before it's too late. May he not rebel against the word of the Lord. For this man, in establishing the Joint College, an organization that was not needed. For think about it, saints. Think about it, saints. J. Delano Ellis has a ministerial structure where now you have archbishops, you have bishops, you have suffragan bishops, when you look at his ministerial structure, it is not what the Bible says. For the Bible says that it was Jesus who gave his church some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be teachers, and some to be pastors. But J. Delano Ellis says, no, scrap that. Away with that. We need a structure, and we don't need those terms. What we need is archbishops and bishops and suffragan bishops and ordinary bishops and jackass bishops. J. Delano Ellis has removed what Christ gave to the church. That was Jesus constituted five offices: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But here comes J. Delano Ellis with a contradiction, with an antilogia, with a different word, a contrary word, an anti-word. And what is the anti-word? No more apostles, no more prophets, no more evangelists, no more pastors, teachers. This is the structure. Archbishop. Ordinary bishops. Suffragan bishops. Bishops of all kind. And everything New Testament has been lost. Everything New Testament has been scrapped. And what's been inserted in the church is Roman Catholic canon law gibberish. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, J. Delano Ellis is in a heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. So let's see. Let's see if this man will ever respond. I doubt it. I doubt that he will ever respond. But there you have it. A labor of love. My 95 thesis for the African American church. May God bless you in this year in which we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the original 95 thesis, which can never be rivaled. I love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, saints. And I leave you with two scriptures. I leave you with Numbers chapter 16, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, come up from about the tabernacle of Korah. Get out of the tabernacle of Korah. Flee the tabernacle of Korah before I swallow him up. And I want to read Revelation 18, verse 4. And Revelation 18, 4 is the same as Numbers 16, 23. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her sins, and that you do not receive her plagues. You see, this harlot church is an anti-logia church. She contradicts the message, the gospel, the glad tidings of Jesus, and has inserted her own. And like those in Korah's day, those who are in the harlot church today, those who don the purple and scarlet vestments of Rome shall too suffer the wrath of God. With those two scriptures, I warn you, saints. And with those two scriptures, I say, come out, come out, come out. Say goodbye to the Joint College of African American Bishops. Grab all of your vestments. Grab everything that organization ever gave you. The binders, the teachings, the membership card, your certificate of episcopacy. Take it all. Take your vestments, your slippers, your pantyhose. Take it all. Take it. Put it in a garbage can and burn it. Burn it before you burn in hell.
Still our ancient Jesus.